Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's sure good to be here this morning. And Barb and I had traveled to a wedding in Indiana, where I, by the way, we caught a flu, and so I got a little bit of a cough yet to hear this morning. Then one Sunday I was going to hear part of the service, and last Sunday, of course, we were up in New York City with our young people. So it's good to be together in the house of God in this way, and I just love to be in the fellowship of the saints, with the people of God, with those who have been born of the Spirit of God and have Christ living within. It's a joy to be in fellowship together in this way. Praise God. Okay, let's stand for a word of prayer. Father, we do worship You this morning. We thank You. Thank You, God, for being our everlasting Father. And thank You, God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You this morning that You are our God in all things, Lord. Even as I stand in this pulpit here this morning, Father, I thank You that You promise to be with me. You promise to not fail me, and I trust You in that, Lord. I trust, Father, that You will give grace to my heart and spirit this morning that I might bring forth Your message and Your word to this, Your people. Father, thank You that You love Your people and You desire to speak to us. Make Your ways known to us. Make Your will, unfold the mystery of Your will to us. And so, Father, we pray that this morning that would be the case, Lord. You would make Your voice clear to our hearts, from even the children to the oldest, most mature believer, Lord. We pray that You would speak, Lord, to our hearts this morning. We trust You. We thank You, Father, that You desire, Lord, yes, Lord, You love us, Your people, and we are Your children. Thank You that we're the sheep of Your pasture. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Will you pray for me that I can feel a little bit weak this morning and have a bit of a cough, but I trust the Lord will give me grace. So welcome to all of you visitors. It's always a joy to have you join with us in a Sunday morning service. Amen. Well, we're approaching the end of the year. We're approaching the end of the year pretty fast here, the year of 2013. And at the beginning of this year, I had a message on entitled The Battering Ram of Prayer. And I'd like to, you know, and the message there was to seek the Lord for answers for our lives through prayer and through persevering prayer. And so we're fast approaching the weekend of fasting and prayer, and I'd like to prepare us for that weekend. I would really like to prepare us and engage our hearts even now for that weekend, that we can, as we come into that weekend, that we are fully engaged, and that there is, a weekend like that is no small thing. I want to encourage us, a weekend like that is no small thing. You know, great things happen in Scripture through times of fasting and prayer among God's people. So I want to just encourage our hearts this morning in coming up to that weekend that we engage our hearts, first of all, that we're involved in the weekend, if at all possible, and that our hearts are engaged in faith and believing God for great things, for answers to our prayer, whether great or small, but that God, that we would look at our God as a great God who desires to do things in our midst. He desires to do things. He desires to answer our prayer. He desires to give us those things that we're desiring, those burdens that are on our hearts. And so that's so I'd like this morning to share this message. And midway through the message, I'd like to open up to you all to just give you an opportunity to share maybe answers that you've received to your prayers in this year of 2013. The way things that you have seen, that you have prayed for, that God has answered, and also maybe things that you're still contending to use that battering ram of prayer and perseverance for those things that maybe you haven't seen yet, things that you have not seen come into fulfillment yet, but you're believing God for. And so I'd like to open it up midway through the message here. For a time of sharing together as a body, that our faith may be increased. That our faith may be increased as we hear our great God answered, you know, testimonies of how God has answered prayer in your life. So the title of the message is the message this morning is The Smallest Seed / The Greatest Mountain. The Smallest Seed, The Greatest Mountain. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and I'll start reading verse 18 here. It says here in verse 18 of chapter 21, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered." Now Jesus was in the morning here. He was returning to Jerusalem, to Bethany, I guess it was. He left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Anyway, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away." You know, at Christ's word, that fig tree withered. The leaves withered. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon is a fig tree withered away?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." I picture the disciples, here the disciples saw Jesus cursing this fig tree. They saw what they saw him. They heard his word. They heard him cursing the tree, and they saw that very soon the fig tree withered. The leaves withered. There was no fruit, so it would only have been the leaves, I guess, that they saw wither. And the disciples marveled at this. They marveled that the fig tree had withered at Christ's word. You know, when Jesus heard them marvel, he said, "Verily I say unto you," you know, Jesus, there was perhaps a mountain nearby, and he told him, "Verily I say unto you, this that you have seen done to this fig tree, if you have faith in your heart and doubt not, but also," and I can see him pointing to perhaps a mountain nearby, "also if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea," and as you consider a mountain, you know, a mountain is a forest of trees. And he said, not only can you say to this mountain, "Be withered," but be removed and be cast into the sea. Utterly gone. Utterly cast out of sight. And so I want to encourage our hearts in faith this morning. You know, as we look at our weekend of fasting and prayer, it's a weekend that God would have us to engage our hearts in faith. In simple faith. Believe in God. Look at what it says here. Whatever burden of God is upon your heart as we enter into that weekend, the Lord wants to move and work in answer to that burden on your heart, in an answer to our prayers together, as we enter into each other's prayers and knit our hearts together for each other. But anyway, it says in verse 22, "In all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." And I just want to encourage our hearts this morning. You know, as we consider entering into that weekend, "In all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." You know, can we go into that weekend of faith like that? As we bring burden, and my heart is that we together can bring burdens into that weekend and enter into each other's prayers, entering into each other's burdens. You know, Paul told the church at Galatia, he said, "Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And I trust we can enter into that weekend that way, that we can bear each other's burdens. We can get underneath each other's burdens. We can enter into each other's prayers. We can enter in and engage our hearts in faith with the burden of the Lord that comes forth. That there would be an engagement of our hearts in believing prayer and faith. You know, think of a mountain. Just think this morning, brothers and sisters, of a mountain being cast into the sea. I mean, I can't, you know, years ago, I traveled out west for the first time. And as we were traveling, I think, across Kansas, for the first time, I saw the Rocky Mountains. And as we traveled across those plains, I saw this dark looming cloud. Well, I thought it was a cloud in front of us. Way out beyond the plains. And I thought there was some kind of thunderhead or storm coming. And lo and behold, as we got closer, I realized that it was the Rocky Mountains. I realized it was a mountain I was seeing. And, that mountain, as I was just amazed, I was in awe at the sight of that mountain. I had never saw a mountain this big before. And that was when I was a young person. Since then, my wife and I have traveled up there a few times. We've traveled there a few times together to the Rocky Mountains. Twice, I think, we were up at Estes Park. And Estes Park is a place also where you travel up a few miles, probably a few miles into an area where there's a town up in the Rockies. And then I thought, you know, as we traveled up through that canyon, I thought once we got up to, you know, once we got up to this town that it was probably pretty close to the top. Well, once you get up to Estes Park, there's still cliffs and mountains way beyond the mountain that you've just traveled up. And but anyway, you know, as you picture mountains in your life and you and I's lives this morning, maybe mountains that we face as a church, or maybe mountains you face as a family, they may be large and looming. You may look at them as the greatest mountain that you've ever seen or experienced. Jesus said, if you believe, you can speak to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done unto you. So I would encourage our hearts in faith this morning as we consider this weekend of fasting and prayer, that we're at a place where there are mountains, where there are hills. One place in Scripture says the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Let's come to the Lord in that way, believing God that these mountains and hills, they're going to break forth before us into singing. They are going, by the grace of God, they shall be removed. And I know the weekend is perhaps not all about casting mountains into the sea. There may be things in our hearts that we want to see God doing in our lives. And I want to be open to that. But whatever burdens come forth, that there is an engagement of faith. That's my heart. We engage ourselves in faith, entering into each other's burdens, into each other's prayers, into each other's all. Yes, that there's love and care for the burdens that come forth out of that weekend. Let's turn our Bibles now to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, here's another example of Jesus speaking forth the word of saying to a mountain, remove hence the under place. And he says, and it shall be removed. But anyway, let me start reading in verse 14, chapter 17 of Matthew. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now here's the disciples where they could not cure this lunatic son. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. thing I want to speak about a bit here is faith as a grain of mustard seed. You know, the title of the message is The Smallest Seed, the Greatest Mountain. And you may feel this morning, you may be here this morning and think as we enter in, young people, I just want to encourage us all. Let's enter into that weekend in believing faith, confidence in our God. All of us together. All of us who name the name of Christ. All of us who have the life of Christ within us, in our spirit. Let's enter into that weekend in believing prayer. And I just want to encourage our hearts. It says here that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, a grain of mustard seed. You know, these disciples, they were trying to rebuke the devil, and they somehow couldn't get the devil cast out of this young man. And I can imagine them, you know, they were there just rebuking this thing, but it just wouldn't budge. It wouldn't move. But once Jesus came on the scene, I'll get into that later. It says he called them a faithless and perverse generation. He was hard on the disciples. He said, because of your unbelief is why this devil was not cast out of this young man. But anyway, I just want to go into the mustard seed here. You know, as you consider, you know, a farmer might think of a mustard seed. How could this ever produce anything? It's the smallest of seeds. It's so small. How could this seed ever amount to anything? The seed looks so small and worthless. And he might even think in his heart, you know, I won't even bother planting it. I won't even sow it. It's so worthless. It looks so worthless and useless. I'm not even going to bother with this kind of seed. And many times Jesus brings out in the gospel about the mustard seed. Many times. He uses the mustard seed as an example quite often. The smallest of seeds. You know, I think Christ was simply saying, make use of what you have and things will happen. You might have just a small seed. You might feel in your heart that there's only a mustard seed of faith, the smallest of seeds. There's just not, you might feel there's not much there. But use and exercise what you have. Every man has been given a measure of faith. And as you use it, you know, the meaning of, I looked up the word mustard. It means to hurt, to sting. You know, recently my wife and I, at the encouragement of the Lambrites, are seeing a chiropractor. We both have had some back problems, and we're going to this chiropractor in Lancaster, and he's giving us a lot of homework, which it's difficult to fulfill at times. Lots of exercises and stretches, and we were in dire need of going to a chiropractor, as the exam showed there. But in those exercises and stretches, it's sometimes painful. It hurts. I mean, I'm using muscles these days that I haven't used in a long time. I mean, I can feel it the next day at times that I've been using these muscles as I stretch and exercise and endeavor to get my back and my body in shape. And so, you know, it's stretching sometimes. Faith is at times stretching. Sometimes stretching to us to step out in faith, to use the faith that we've been given. But I want to encourage us this morning, use that little measure of faith that you have. Young people, all of us together, let's enter into that weekend using the measure of faith, that little mustard seed of faith that you may think is the smallest of seeds. You may think in your heart, it's so small, I might as well not even engage myself in the weekend. My faith won't amount to anything. My faith won't help the situation. My faith is not going to make a difference. You might come into that weekend in that posture. You might be thinking those thoughts this morning. That weekend I'm just going to forget about fasting and prayer. Because I just have such a small faith. My presence or absence won't matter. I do want to encourage you that your faith does matter. It does matter. As we come into that weekend, this faith, the faith as a grain of mustard seed, has the potential to remove a mountain. Jesus said, those were Christ's words, In the passage I read at the first in 21 of Matthew, and now here in Matthew 17. So faith is a grain of mustard seed. You know, Jesus brought out one place in Matthew 13, he says, again about a grain of mustard seed, he said, it's the smallest of seeds. But as it grows, it becomes a big tree. Becomes a big, I'm not sure if it's the largest of herbs, but it becomes a great tree. And it says, the birds of the air come to nest there, come to lodge therein. And I don't know what all that means, but I can picture that as we grow in our faith, people begin to come and ask questions at times because they see that you are a man and woman of faith. They come in essence to find refuge and help for their time of need. And for you, because there seems to be a faith there that produces answers. And so I want to encourage our hearts this morning as we enter into that weekend. Even if you just have faith as a grain of mustard seed, it has the potential to remove a mountain. To call, say to this mountain, be thou removed into yonder place. And what does it say? And nothing shall be impossible unto you. So using our spiritual muscles is important. You know, like I said, it feels stretching. It takes effort at times. But as you use those muscles, they begin to, and I'm looking to the day, you know, as I stretch and exercise, I'm already feeling it. It's more effortless and coming more natural. My body doesn't ache as much as it did at first when I was with the stretches that he gave me. And I want to encourage us, you know, it's sometimes, like I said, the word mustard means sting, hurt. And as you stretch yourself, as you exercise your spiritual muscles in this area of faith, this area of maybe the mustard seed of faith that you have, it may take some effort and exercise on your part. But as you exercise yourself, as there's effort put forth, they will come when it'll flow more naturally. It'll flow more effortlessly. And Jesus rebuked the disciples. He rebuked them for their unbelief. He said, O faithless and perverse generation. Let us be those. You know, these were Jesus' disciples. Jesus was rebuking His disciples, His very disciples. And this morning, you know, as you consider your own heart, let's consider our hearts this morning. Where are we at in this matter of faith? Is there an engagement of faith? Is there an engagement of our hearts when the Lord puts a burden on our heart in prayer? And there's a burden on our heart to pray something through. Is there an engagement of faith? Or like the disciples, I can imagine the disciples just, they were rebuking that devil. They were rebuking that devil. But I can imagine in their minds, they thought, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see if this thing moves or not. There was no authoritative faith there as they dealt with that devil in the child there. There was no authoritative word. But they were, you know, and Jesus rebuked them strongly. O faithless and perverse generation, He says, because of your unbelief. So like I said, dear brothers and sisters, you know, we're entering into a weekend here very soon of engaging our hearts in prayer and fasting. And I know there's burdens in our hearts. I know many of us are carrying burdens. So I would like to just open it up to us here this morning. You know, I know verse 21 says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And I want to get into the fasting part after I open it up here. But I would like to open it up and just hear from your hearts answers that you've had to your prayers in this year of 2013. Answers you've had, things that you're still persevering for and believing God for, things that you're, mountains that you're still believing God to have removed. So I'd like to open it up and just that we together can share together for a little while here and thus hopefully have our faith increased. That God is a prayer-answering God. He desires to give us He desires to give us the very desires of our hearts. His heart is toward us. It's His pleasure. It's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So just slip up your hand. If you have something you'd like to share, and somebody, the ushers will get a mic to you, I'd just like to open it up for a little while here. Here we have a hand.
I want to share a prayer for the family, for my son, Isaiah. Prayer for conversion, and the Lord came through.
Praise God. Praise God. We thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God answered your prayer, Brother Lonnie, for your son. God bless you, Isaiah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Arlen?
Yeah, my wife and I earlier this week were praying for someone that was special to both of us and just felt a real burden to pray. And so we prayed, and my wife felt a witness in her heart that her prayer was answered. And a few minutes later, we got a text message from that individual that revealed that we did receive the request that we had prayed for.
Praise God.
So it was a builder of faith.
Thank the Lord. Others, somebody else have the mic or not? James.
Yeah, I can't say it's really an answer to my prayer, but an answer to others' prayers. I was born again a week ago Thursday, and I definitely think it was due a lot to the prayers of the Sent students in Africa. I found out the day after, or 2 days after, that they were praying for me that whole week. And, it was the weirdest thing, because I couldn't explain at all why I did it. But I found out, like, 2 days later that they were all praying for me. So that was definitely an answer to their prayers, I think.
Praise God. Praise God, James. Amen.
And definitely keep praying for me.
Amen. Let's just sing one verse of victory in Jesus. That's a joy to hear your testimony. Then we'll go on. I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Let's sing it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and He brought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ever I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. What a joy, James. God bless you. Praise God. Okay, anyone else have a mic? Here we have one.
Yeah, I wanted to encourage everybody in this, because there are so many things that we have prayed for. We've seen provision come when there was nothing. Food, cars, money, buggies. We've seen children who have never spoken speak. We've seen children with seizures have them stop. We've seen all kinds of miracles happen. And what I would say is to judge the word by the power and the authority of God, not by your experience. And I just wanted to read James 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? I think about this fig tree that we had read about. And those of you who are produce farmers, like, would think about that the fruit comes last. But on a fig tree, the fruit comes first. So when it's full of leaves, we know that it already should be full of fruit. And it said in Matthew, "And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.'" And we read in Matthew about the boy who needed to be delivered, and the disciples could not do it. And Jesus answered them, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I bear with you?" So we just have to, my encouragement is to remember that this word is God, God who created the entire universe, who keeps everything spinning, everything at the right speed, every gas in the atmosphere perfect for us to breathe, everything the right distance apart, everything so perfect on a scale so enormous that we can't even comprehend. And that is the God who this word is about. It's not about our experience in life, what we've seen or seen not work in the past. It's about God who holds everything together. So I just would like to encourage you when you pray to think on God who made us and knows everything about us. Don't think on your experiences. Think on God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Encouraging us in our great God. Amen. Is there someone here, Justin?
Yes, this past year has been I've had a lot of answers to prayer. God has changed my life. He's led me to get married to my wife and work all those things out due to a lot of prayer. And just seeing his loving hand as a father, even little things like furniture and things like that, we've just seen how our futile efforts of going to an auction day after day trying to find some good furniture that's in the right price, and then being convicted that we haven't prayed about it.
Amen.
And praying about it, and then the next time you go, it's what you want. And God gives it to you. And it's just been such a blessing to see His loving hand and just simple things like that. It's not big mountains that we have to pray for, but even just little things, God loves to hear those prayers and to answer them.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That was good.
I just want to praise the Lord. I remember, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, just saying I was struggling with faith. And I just feel like He's just done such a work in the last 6 months and given me so much faith, not based on circumstances, but based on His Word and what He's done in me and what He continues to do. And so maybe someone even here feels like, well, I can't come to prayer because I don't even have a mustard seed of faith. But maybe that's what you can pray for. You can come and confess that. But I need faith. I'm so discouraged. So I just want to praise the Lord for that. And also just a couple things this week that I prayed for. And within 3 hours, one of them was answered. And the next morning, the other one was answered. And God just really hears our prayers, and I just want to praise Him for that.
Praise the Lord, sister. God bless you. Amen. Go ahead, Carol.
Some time ago, I was really struggling with my identity, really struggling with it in such a bad way, and I was so discouraged, and I really had come down to rock bottom, and that was a Sunday that Emmanuel Esch preach a real powerful message on being set free from your negative mind pattern, mind patterns. And I'll tell you, when he said that I knew that's where I was coming from, and I wasn't even in church that day. I was really down. I didn't know what to do about it. But God answered prayer, and I saw my identity in Christ. I didn't see it in people anymore. And now I don't have that problem anymore. God has set me free as a result of that message that he preached that particular Sunday. So I just praise the Lord for that.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Reuben?
Yeah, I'm blessed this week with a answer to prayer, too, for LCM. We had incorporated LCM here a few years ago already and finally worked through the paperwork to apply for the nonprofit in February of this year. And a week ago, I looked at the IRS page where you could see, you know, where are they at with the applications, and it said they are currently processing applications for May of 2012. And 6 months ago, they were processing for April of 2012. So they're going at a pretty slow rate because of the scandal that they had and all of that. And so I thought, well, I guess it'll be a year or a year and a half yet till we see that paperwork. And then I thought, well, Lord, He can do it, make it possible. And started praying about it and was going to write an email to the rest of the LCM board to pray together about it so that we can have it by the end of the year to be able to give tax-deductible receipts. And on Friday, the letter came before I even wrote the email to the rest of the board. So we received our tax-exempt status, and I was just so blessed to see the Lord answer so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord, Reuben. Amen. Is there someone else? Rachel?
It was really neat. This month I needed a job, and I just needed a temporary job, and so was praying about it, and God provided a job for 3 weeks. And in doing that, He answered two prayers in one, because I was back here in the States and feeling confused and not sure about the culture I'm in. And I had been praying that God would help me understand the plain community here. And I get to work with 15 to 20 young people, and they're Amish and Horning and Eastern Mennonite.
Praise
so it's just
God.
Really neat.
Praise God. Isn't this a blessing? Rejoicing with those that rejoice. An answer to their prayers. Laura?
I was experiencing fear at one point in this pregnancy, and when I confessed that to a sister, and then later on more of it, I was able to understand more of it, and to my husband, and we prayed against it, and that fear was overcome. And the Lord brought healing different times, and the Lord answers prayer.
Amen. Someone in the back here, Ella?
I just wanted to share about an answer to prayer that was about a pretty minor thing, but it was very encouraging to me. Last weekend, when we were in New York City, on Saturday morning, after we ate breakfast, I started to feel sick to my stomach, and when we got on the bus, I got really car sick, and I was usually, if I get car sick, it takes me a long time to get over it, and it was pretty bad. So I asked a couple people to pray for me, and then I went back to my seat, and almost immediately I began to feel better, and I was perfectly fine for the rest of the ride, and that was really a blessing.
Amen. We have a hint. Sarah?
This past week I lost my job that I'd had for the past 2 years. A lady I cared for ended up in the hospital and will be going on to the nursing home. And as I was praying and asking God for a job, another job, to have it soon, and I was just very thankful because I work independently and not through an agency when I do elderly care. The lapses between jobs when I lose one can feel a little scary because I don't know where my next job is coming from. And in the past, God has always, always gotten me another job just in time. And I just felt so thankful that God, to be able to find the rest in knowing that I have a God that has proven Himself in my, not only in His Word, but in my own life, that I can not feel fearful about the future. And I've just been asking God to give me a job that would also enable me to be available for my mother, who needs extra care right now, but that it would still meet my needs. And it was just really precious to me as I was bringing these things to God that I realized there's a complete assurance that God has proven Himself and I can rest. And I'm, in spite of some trembling sometimes, there's not a fright, a fearfulness. I just, it just felt like such a unspeakable blessing to be able to have a God that's that trustworthy.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. All right. Anyone else yet? Or anyone have a mic? Here's one more. We'll take Luke yet, and if there's one more, we'll take one one after Luke yet, and then we'll move on with the service.
I just want to draw your attention to what Reuben prayed for. Doesn't he realize that that letter was already on the way before he prayed? So why do we give God the credit or whatever? Or sometimes we come up to a situation that we're against and we think, well, it's already too late to pray because it already had to be set in motion. But don't ever think that way. God knows what we're going to pray. I had that situation years ago when we wanted a load of sand in the middle of a footer dug the whole way around. And the backhoe was almost all ready to close that hole. And the sand come from 10 minutes away. Well, I just prayed anyway. Looked up and here the sand comes over the hill. So don't ever think that it is too late to pray for anything because God is still on time.
Amen. Okay, one more over here to the left.
Good morning. I couldn't help but to think it's probably exactly a year ago when I started facing some physical difficulties. And I just want to proclaim God is good. He hears our prayers. Faith is one of those things I still don't totally understand because it's often in things we don't see. You know, we don't see the end of the picture. But I do know God is a God of healing. He's a God of peace. And He will direct each one of my life, our lives, and He's directing my life. And I'm very grateful for His healing power on my life and for protecting me mentally, physically, and I believe He's healing me.
Praise God, Brother George. We love you, brother. It's a joy to hear what God is doing. Just heard this week in our mission board meeting that you're getting back into the office a bit, and that's amen. God is working in your physical body. I was so encouraged this week. I brought a situation to. Well, let me say it this way. My wife and I have been agreeing together concerning a situation that we've been praying for probably the last almost year. And the situation is not really. There's not been a lot of change . And I was so I brought it before the Lord again. I just said, Lord, am I hearing right? I mean, do you want us to continue to agree together concerning this situation? And I came away from prayer just knowing that God said a clear yes. I mean, God just, I mean, there's an assurance there greater than ever that God is going to come through in due time. And it was just a joy in my heart that a stronger faith as I brought that to the Lord rather than the other way. And so let's keep believing God, brothers and sisters, concerning those things that we do not yet see. We do not yet see. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, let me turn to one more scripture, and I always like that one in Mark 11. Also about the fig tree, but there Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, what things, this is after he brought out about the removal of the mountain and being cast into the sea. Then he brings it into prayer. He says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. Believe that ye receive them. You know, when ye pray, believe that ye have received the answer. And then it says, and ye shall have them. So the believing part of believing that we have received comes before actual sight. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Okay, well let's move on. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter, this is my last point, Isaiah chapter 58 on fasting. On fasting, I'll read two verses there in verses 6 and 7. Here Isaiah says in verse 6, he says, Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. So God has a chosen, He has a purpose for fasting. And here He brings out a purpose. He says, my purpose for fasting is that the bands of wickedness may be loosed in people, heavy burdens undone, the oppressed set free, and that every yoke is broken. That blessed me again this week when I read it. That every yoke that we bring into our weekend of fasting and prayer can be broken in the lives of those who we are seeking the Lord for, whether our own or whether that of others. But then it says in verse 7, he continues on, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. So, part of the chosen fast is also verse 7, which I'll bring out here in a little while, what I believe God is bringing forth in that particular scripture there. So why accompany prayer with fasting? Why is fasting necessary? You know, why did Jesus say it? Howbeit, this kind does not come out but by prayer and fasting. Well, I don't know how many of you have experienced, you know, what I do in fasting, but I've heard testimonies of those who do. But in fasting, I believe there's a physical energy that when we're eating food and consuming food and digesting food, that is, you know, that our body is, you know, there's an energy that it takes from our body. There's an energy that it takes to consume all of that and digest it. And when we're partaking of the physical. But when we abstain from the physical and divert that to the spiritual, and this is what I found, there's a power. There's a powerful dynamic begins to kick in. And my experience is often, you know, when I'm in prayer after a time of or in a time of fasting, the power of God, I mean, you can just sense it in a stronger way. There's a spiritual strength there that I often experience that is not there in other times of when I'm not fasting. And so I want to encourage us in that. That's my experience. Of energy, a dynamic of energy and power that God uses then to break those bands of wickedness, to undo those heavy burdens. And I believe there's a stronger faith that rises up during those times often. That we have there's a faith that God uses in, you know, and I must say often my spiritual senses are more sharp. And so I believe in those times that are the tendency, or how should I say that, to exercise the faith that is within us, there is in essence more ability there to exercise that faith. There's more energy and spiritual energy and grace and power. So I want to encourage us in this matter of fasting. I know it's a time when the flesh, it's hard on the flesh. It's not easy. And for some of you who are not accustomed to fasting, maybe you want to get used to it in the next week or two. Fast a day or a meal. 3 days is a long, I mean, that can be a long, grueling time if you're not used to it. And so I want to encourage us to prepare our hearts for that weekend. You want to prepare in that way that we enter into that weekend and we can engage our hearts and believe God. Believe God. And if you come with a mustard seed of faith, don't worry about it. If it's just a seed, it's not yet a tree, if it's not even yet a plant, He says, bring that mustard seed of faith. The greatest mountain, mountains can be removed through a seed of faith. So bring your faith with you, brothers and sisters, and let's enter into that weekend and fasting and prayer. You know, I believe God's heart here is that we enter into each other's burdens. You know, in the first few verses of Isaiah 58 here, it brings out they were fasting for strife and for debate. It says, behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. They were fasting for selfish motives. And my heart is that we come into that weekend, yes, we share the burden that is on our heart, but that we also care for the burdens that are on others. That we're at a place of bearing one another's burdens. So fulfilling the law of Christ. What is that law? The law of love, I believe. Simply the law of love and care for each other as we enter into that weekend. That there is love and care, humility in our hearts to reach down. Or how should I say? To reach out and, by engaging ourselves in, first of all, again, by involving ourselves in the weekend. And secondly, engaging our hearts into each other's burdens and desires and prayer requests. That there is a love and care in our hearts for each other. Here he rebuked Israel very strongly for their selfish motives. You know, I think sometimes we get the feeling that, you know, and I'm not against fasting for our own needs. I'm not against that. But in this context, I believe it's more so that, you know, that we carry the burden of whatever. You know, our heart is not at a selfish place, but our heart is engaged in bearing the burden of the Lord, whatever it may be. And then I believe that in verse 8 and 9, I mean, it just brings out very clearly that, you know, almost the natural outcome is our own health, is our own spiritual health and vitality. As our focus is on others and the cares and needs of one another versus just me and myself. Natural outcome is, look at what it says in verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. Then again he says, If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. You know, again, selfishness or pride. You know, putting forth the finger, laying yokes on the lives of others. So God would have us to enter into that weekend, not so much focusing on ourselves, but on each other. Bearing the burdens of each other. And yes, it may have a tremendous side blessing, and that kind of fasting and prayer may have results in your own life, but don't let that be your focus so much as. But I do want you to bring forth your burdens, the burdens that are on your heart. But just that our focus is not just my own needs, not just my own needs, my own mountains and things that I'm working through. Anyway, let's go on here. In verse 6 it says, Is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness? That's very encouraging, brothers and sisters. You know, Brother Lonnie, I don't know if you I know that you prayed for your son. And I suspect that you fasted and prayed, and the bands of wickedness were loosed in his life. Let's come into that weekend. Maybe we know those who are bound, up with bands of wickedness. Here it says that this is a chosen fast, this is a fast that I have chosen, that the bands of wickedness may be loosed. To loose the bands of wickedness. Maybe you know those in your own family, your own home, or in your community, or maybe you're at that place yourself. Whatever the case, the chosen fast is that the bands of wickedness may be loosed. You may be delivered from those bands. When there's bands of wickedness, people are bound. I mean, this is talking about people that are bound up. They have bands around them. They're strapped in. I mean, they can't move. They need deliverance. They need someone to loose those bands, to unravel. Of course, we know it's Christ. But God uses our fasting prayers to loose the bands of wickedness. I want to encourage us in that. And then the next one says, to undo the heavy burdens. There may be heavy burdens that you know people are carrying in our congregation. There may be heavy burdens that you know people are carrying. I mean, I look at people that are, you know, where there's separation in marriage. Those are heavy burdens. And God says, I came to undo the heavy burdens. Through your fasting prayers, heavy burdens can be undone. Those burdens can be taken off of people. And they can be removed to where they experience the burden of the Lord, which is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes people are carrying heavy burdens. And the Lord desires, through our fasting prayers, to undo heavy burdens. Undo them. come in believing prayer and faith into that weekend, gauging our hearts that these kind of things would happen in our very own midst. And yea, in our own, whatever burdens you bring, whether it's for the community or whatever, I just want the burden of the Lord to come forth, and I want to engage my heart into your burden. And believe God that He will move in answer to believing, fasting, prayer. It says He lets you, the chosen fast is to let the oppressed go free. Maybe you know of people that are under oppression. They're at a place where they're oppressed. They're depressed. They're just under the gut of the enemy and you can't seem to rise up out of it. I want to encourage our hearts again. This is a fast that I've chosen to let the oppressed go free. Completely free. That they can come up out from underneath that cloud. That dark cloud, that dark foreboding cloud of doubt and fear and oppression, emotional trauma, whatever the situation. He came to set, the chosen fast is that the oppressed might go free. And that ye break every yoke. You know, that's so encouraging. I mean, coming into this weekend, brothers and sisters, Christ wants to break every yoke in our midst. Every yoke. I mean, wherever there's yokes that are not of Him, my yoke is easy. Wherever there's yokes not of Him, Jesus wants to break it. He wants to use our fasting prayers to break every yoke. To just simply break that yoke off of people. Off of people who are off of our brothers and sisters who may be carrying those kind of yokes. Off unbelievers who may be carrying a yoke. He wants to just break them. Break them off. That they might carry the yoke of the Lord, which is easy. There is a yoke to carry, but His yoke is easy. So let's come into that weekend. Okay, verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? I'd like to encourage us this morning. I believe that those are words of action. That may be a weekend that God wants to use you, brother and sister, to go to a spiritually destitute person. To go to those who are spiritually hungering and thirsty. You know in your heart that there's spiritual hunger there. I'm working with an individual or two that, you know, there's spiritual hunger there. I keep feeding them. I keep feeding them. One day I'm looking for that hunger to be fulfilled. The righteousness of Christ. So let's use that weekend. Let's be open to the Lord to actually have us go. This is a scripture that I see the Lord saying, go. Go deal thy bread to the hungry. Ask God for bread during that week. Ask Him for those 3 loaves of bread to give to your neighbor or to the person who has come from a long journey and is hungry. Ask Him, Lord, I want to be used that weekend. And that doesn't have to be just that weekend, but specifically He brings that out, that this is a fast that I've chosen to deal thy bread to the hungry. Give a portion of meat to him in due season. Give a portion of meat to that destitute one, to that one who is hungering and thirsty. Let's allow God to use us during that weekend to physically be involved, physically go, not just everything in the spiritual realm, but to go and engage yourselves in this way too. To show forth in action love and care, not just by word, but by deed. It says, to do thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thine house. You know, maybe some who we will be engaging our prayer for, maybe they'll be at a place of tremendous poverty in spirit. There may be maybe some that we will be engaging our prayers are very at a place of they're poor and needy. Jesus said, bring the poor that are cast out to thine house. Let's remember, maybe Christ wants to use you during that weekend to reach out to a poor and needy soul. In some way, whether it's bringing him into your house or in some way showing him love and care. Love and care. That you care for his soul. You care for him as an individual. Is it not? It says, is it when thou seest the naked that thou cover him? You know, nakedness is a place of shame. Somebody is naked, it's very shameful for someone to be in that place in public, especially. And there may be people that we look at who are at a place of shame, and we'd rather just turn our face. We'd rather not look at their shame. Jesus said to cover the shame. Cover the naked. He says, cover the naked. He says, don't just turn away from the naked. Just remember that love covers a multitude of sins. May God use us that weekend to perhaps cover those who are at a place of shame. I don't know how God wants to use us, but let's be open to the Lord, because this is a part of fasting. Part of fasting is reaching out. Not just abstaining from food. It is also reaching out and giving. Then it says, and that you hide not yourself from thine own flesh. You know, all those who are at a place of great need, whether they're destitute and hungry, whether they're poor and needy, or whether they're naked, they're our flesh. I mean, we're made of the same kind of stuff. Don't hide. That's what I see Isaiah bringing out. Don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Every human being on the face of the earth is a part of our own flesh. And we should consider their soul. Consider them as a person. But especially that weekend, as we have a time of fasting, prayer, the chosen fast, that's a part of the chosen fast. Those things that God brings forth, those burdens of the Lord that God brings forth, let's not hide ourselves from our own flesh, from those people, those burdens, those situations. So, brothers and sisters, let's set aside this time in whatever way we can. You know, I know some of us have work. I know we have things that perhaps we need to stay engaged in. But wherever we can, whether work or pleasures or doing our own thing, let's make it a time, a weekend of solemnly beseeching our God. Solemnly beseeching our God. A time when we engage our hearts in united prayer and fasting. There's a unitedness. There's a oneness in our midst. Brother, sister, bring your portion of faith. I encourage you. Bring your portion of faith. Bring that mustard seed of faith. God will use it. God's going to use it in our midst during that time of seeking His face, seeking the face of the Lord in supplication and prayer. Okay, in closing, Mordecai, I just want to bring out a few examples in closing. Mordecai and the Jews in Shushan, together with Esther and her maidens, fasted and prayed 3 days and three nights. And the whole Jewish nation was spared and saved. 3 days of fasting and prayer. The whole nation of Israel was spared and saved through that time of beseeching their God. Nehemiah fasted and prayed certain days and was used by God to build the destroyed wall of Jerusalem in 52 days. 52 days. Through his fasting and prayer, that wall was built in 52 days, despite hardships in the face of adversaries. And even there was a great spiritual restoration. Not only was a physical wall built, there was a great spiritual restoration in Israel during those days. Daniel fasted and prayed, and much discernment and revelation was given to him. So again, my brother and sister, let's seek God. Let's make it a weekend of seeking God, seeking Him. He will surely answer. Let's ask, and it shall be given you. In Luke it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. He says, how much more, at the end of that little spiritual story of the man with giving his friends three loaves of bread, Jesus says, how much more shall I give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And these situations that we'll be praying for, they need the Holy Ghost. They need the Spirit of God We need the Spirit of God to come through. Let's seek Him. Let's believe Him. Even if it doesn't happen overnight, let's keep knocking. God says, I will surely. Even as a son is not refused of his father when he asks a piece of bread, even so I will, how much more shall my God give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So brother and sister, let's involve ourselves. That's my plea. All of us together. Can we do that? Can we engage ourselves in that weekend? Involve ourselves. Engage ourselves into each other's lives. Bear one another's burdens. I believe we can be involved, even with that seed, mustard seed of faith, that little seed of faith that you have. You can be involved in that weekend and casting mountains into the sea, having them completely removed. You can be involved. The smallest seed, the greatest mountain. The smallest seed can be used to remove the greatest obstacle that you may be facing, or that you may be have a burden for as we enter in. As we enter in that weekend. So brother and sister, with God all things are possible. Let's enter into that weekend that way. Amen. 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 God bless.
All right. Thank you, Mel, for that word of faith. Prepare us for this time. That'll be, not this coming week, but the following week, yeah. How will we know if you believe that God answers prayer and fasting? How will we know? Mel quoted that scripture that faith is the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things not seen. The evidence of things hoped for. Anyway, one of those, maybe I got it backwards. What is the evidence of faith? Isn't it prayer? Where there's no prayer, there's no faith. Where there's no faith, there's no prayer. Let's let the Lord see our faith by coming and praying together. Jesus said that in Luke 18. He gave the story there about the widow coming to the judge. He says, hear what the unjust judge said. He finally said, I'm going to avenge her because she's bothering me. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cried day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Is He going to find people who pray? Is He going to find people who won't give up like that lady? I believe He is. And I want to be in that number. Really enjoyed hearing your testimonies today about how God has answered your prayers already. What a blessing. I like hearing about the big ones, and I like hearing about the maybe what we would call the little ones. I just 2 days ago, I was driving to work and praying about maybe it seems like a little thing. I was praying about a birthday present to give somebody. And I just wasn't sure. Lord, is this, I want to bless this person. Is this really You? I have this idea. And I wasn't sure about it for different reasons. One of them was money and other reasons. I just prayed as I drove down the road. I just let the Lord know. Lord, I want to do Your will. And I believe You care about this. I get to the job, and I'm working in the lady's house, and she comes up to me. She says, you wouldn't be interested in something like this, would you? The exact same thing I was praying about on the way there. She said, I just bought this thing, and she said, it just doesn't work for me.
and I've hardly used the thing at all. And said, you wouldn't by any chance, you know, have a use for something like that, would you? And so, of course, I had a little chuckle in my to myself. I said, well, Lord, I think you're speaking to me. And she wanted to, she didn't want to give it to me, but she was wanted to sell it to me for a very cheap price. Praise God. I like walking with God. It's fun, isn't it? You know, I feel sorry for people who have so much money that they can just buy whatever they want whenever they want it. And they don't ever ask God. I think I can say in my Christian life, the greatest, some of the greatest things, the ways that I've had God speak to me more often than anything else is just through finances. And when we first got married, we didn't have much money. Praise God. We prayed about a lot of things. We have more money now, but God delights when we ask Him about stuff that we could go ahead and buy. Amen? He loves to show Himself strong. Praise God. Maybe somebody has another thought concerning our prayer and fasting weekend coming up. You have a burden for it. You have a word of faith for it. You have a something you'd like to share. Is there anybody like that today? Okay, one back there. Is there one up here? Okay, go ahead.
I would just like to request prayer again for one of the dentists that I've worked for. I mentioned before a few months ago that he's been fighting cancer, and he is a believer. He just sent me a message yesterday just requesting prayer again. He had two rounds of chemotherapy this weekend, so he's feeling very ill and weak. His wife did have her baby. They are very blessed to have a healthy little boy, but they need a father that is able to lead the family there. So I would also just ask for prayer that some of my family is going to visit them this afternoon, and that we can just be a blessing and an encouragement to them.
What's their name?
His name is Joseph, and her name is Basima. They're from Egypt. So they came over here to America to flee the persecution. So.
All right, amen. We'll pray with you.
I just wanted to say thank you to Brother Mel for the message, and the thing that really stood out to me was how you said to use what you have. And I think sometimes I feel like I have a lot of faith. Other times I feel like I hardly have any. And that I'm encouraged to use what I have and to not be found guilty of having faith and not using it and missing out on what God wants to do through me. So I'm encouraged.
Amen. Thanks for sharing. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like the Lord wouldn't let me go to get up and share this. And I need to work it out in my own life. But the thought came to me about, I will not offer to God that which doesn't cost me anything, where David was said, I'll buy the threshing floor. And so I just want to encourage us that, you know, I think it would really show faith if I were willing to take either a paid vacation day or take off of work. Because if I can take off of work to do my pleasure, to go to camping or whatever, what an exercise of ministering to the Lord to take off of work to fast and pray. But now I also need to work it out in my own life. So you can pray with me about this. A family from out of state wants to do a recording Friday and Saturday of this weekend of prayer and fasting. And they booked it way long ago because they're from far away and they're coming that weekend. And I've just been praying about it. It's been on my heart. How am I going to work this out? So they're Christians, so I think I'll just share it with them and ask them to pray along with me that God's going to provide His answer. God bless you. I'm really looking forward to the prayer and fasting. And thank you, Brother Mel, for those encouraging words this morning.
Amen. There's one.
I'm asking God to do a work in my heart in this prayer and fasting weekend, in Him teaching me how to walk in the Spirit and to hear His voice and His guidance more clearly. And I believe that even as a church body, God wants to continue to teach us this through this weekend, that we might hear His voice and know the leading of His Holy Spirit very clearly.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.